Good morning and welcome to worship at Prairie Street Mennonite Church.
O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, let all the earth tremble before our God.
Let heaven celebrate, let the earth rejoice.
Today we will focus on God's commandments given through Moses to the people of Israel and the fulfillment of those commandments through Jesus, our Christ.
Please stand and turn in the Prairie Street Sings song folder to number 74. Number 74.
From Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is dear and clear, enlightening the eyes. Please pray with me. O Lord, on the way to goodness, when we stumble, hold us. When we fall, lift us up. When we are hard pressed by evil, deliver us. When we turn from what is good, turn us back and bring us at last to your glory. In the name of your Son, Jesus, who is our glory. Amen. And now, friends, we invite you to turn in the Sing the Story book, the purple book, to number 96. Number 96.
Please turn into Blue Hymnal to number 526, In the Rifted Rock I'm Resting. And those who are able, please stand.
In the Rifted Rock.
Now let us enter into a time of confession. I will lead you with the light print and ask you to respond with the bold print, which is found in your bulletin. Have mercy on me, O God, in your kindness, in your compassion, blot out my offense. O wash me from more and more my guilt, and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. And now, friends, I invite you to rise if you are able to receive these words of God's assurance. Sisters and brothers, God the Father of us all and of Lord Jesus has mercy on us and forgives us for our sins. Let us share Christ's peace with the world, saying, "The peace of Christ be with you," and responding, "Please share God's peace with one another."
I would like to invite all of you who have birthdays or anniversaries or something special in your life to come forward. More coming. Okay, we'll wait. We need to mention this one. Okay, all right. Here they come. Slow. All right. Seven of you. Great. Are there special dates that you want to share? Anniversaries or birthdays? Francis has been nudging over here.
I'm 90, but these folks are older.
We can celebrate 90, and we can celebrate older.
92.
92, all right.
I'll be 93.
Hooray, all right. Good, does anyone else want to share? You can't beat that. All right. Please extend your hand and let's bless these good folks. Jesus Christ, we are so thankful for the gifts that you give each and every one of us, but especially the gifts of those who stand among us today, before us. We ask for your spirit of truth and light and grace to touch their lives, to open their hearts and their souls and their minds, to become as large as you have called them to be, and to give the wisdom that they have obtained to younger generations. We ask that you will send them from this place with joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We invite the children to come forward for children's time, and Carolyn has something to share with you.
Avi looks like one of those angels that covers his face with its wings. That's how he's praying and singing today. Good morning. I have something to show you. Actually, Ren, go get the red papers in my pew. Bring them right back. And the rest of you, do you want to look at our bulbs here? We're gonna do offering in just a minute, but I want to show you. These are the bulbs that we planted a couple weeks ago. What do you see? Yes. Yeah, some of them are actually growing. That's good. We're going to get a chance to look at these every week. Right. God is making something new right here. All right. When you've had a chance to look at the bulbs, you can come and be seated. And if you brought offering, I'm going to pass our basket. This is going to the Mennonite school in Puerto Rico. And we're giving our offerings to help rebuild their school, to maybe have a roof or maybe have walls, because we know the children there are, their school was damaged in the hurricane. All right, so I want to show you something. I'm going to make some signs, and I want to see if you can tell me what they mean just by looking, okay? All right, what's this one mean? Yeah, we can tell that means stop just by looking at it. Yeah, I think you might have looked at it earlier, so... This is such a familiar rule. We know it just by the shape it is. We can see it. We can see it when we're driving or walking or biking. And that's the kind of rule that tells you to stop, or maybe that there's something you need to stop doing, something that might be dangerous or harmful if you keep doing it. All right, and now let's look at this one. You guys are good. All right, can you see this one? What does this one usually mean?
Your heart.
Or what action might it mean?
Love.
Love. Yeah. There, we're going to hear about some commands, some rules that God gives us in the Bible today, and some of them are kind of stop rules. They're things that say no, or this is harmful to you. But other ones are rules that say yes, that say love. Like loving God and loving your neighbor. So I want you to listen when we read the Bible today, and we'll talk about these again in Sunday school. We're going to talk about God's commands, especially about the ones to love. Okay? Let's pray together before we go back to our seats. Dear God, I thank you for every one of these children and the grown-ups who bring them here. Write God's words on their hearts, guide their feet, guide their hands in service to you. Amen.
The word of God this morning is from the Hebrew scriptures, the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. Then God spoke these words, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me."
Dios habló y dijo estas palabras. Yo soy el Señor tu Dios. Yo te saqué de la tierra de Egipto, donde vivías como esclavo. No tendrás dioses ajenos delante de mí.
You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above or on earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I am the Lord your God, and I am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments.
No te harás imagen ni semejanza alguna de lo que está arriba en el cielo, ni abajo en la tierra, ni en las aguas debajo de la tierra. No te inclinarás ante ellas ni las honrarás, porque yo soy el Señor tu Dios, fuerte y celoso, Yo visito en los hijos la maldad de los padres que me aborrecen hasta la tercera y cuarta generación. Pero trato con misericordia infinita a los que me aman y cumplan mis mandamientos.
You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, or the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name.
No tomarás en vano el nombre del Señor tu Dios, porque yo, el Señor, no consideraré inocente al que tome en vano mi nombre.
Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or your female slaves, your livestock, or the alien residents in your town.
Te acordarás del día de reposo y lo santificarás. Durante 6 días trabajarás y harás toda tu obra. Pero el día séptimo es de reposo en honor al Señor, del Señor tu Dios. No harás en él ningún trabajo, ni tú, ni tu hijo, ni tu hija, ni tu siervo, ni tu criada, ni tu bestia, ni el extranjero que viva dentro de tus ciudades.
This is the word of the Lord.
Palabra del Señor.
Gracias a Dios. Our preacher this morning is Pastor Nelson. Please join me as we pray for him to bring the word. Gracious God and creator of the universe, may your hand be upon Nelson this morning as he brings your word. May those words bless us, and may we be refreshed and encouraged by all that you do for us. Amen.
On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, as well as thick cloud on the mountain, and a blast of trumpets so loud that people in the camp trembled. Moses brought the people out to meet God. They took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because Yahweh God had descended upon it in fire, and the whole mountain shook violently. As the blast of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses would speak and God would answer in thunder. God summoned Moses to the mountaintop. And Moses went up. Then God spoke all these words, "I am Yahweh, your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no graven images. You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. You shall observe the Sabbath. You shall not steal. You shall not lie. You shall not commit adultery." This drama at Sinai comes immediately after God liberated his people from slavery in Egypt. And giving of these commandments, these Ten Commandments and the covenant associated with it, was not a new burden, it was a gift. God sets his people free, and then God gives them and gives us guidance for how we live in right relationship with the God who sets us free. So freedom comes not through independence, being isolated and doing our own thing. Freedom comes through covenant relationship and obedience to the God who made us. How many people watched skating at the Olympics? Any hands up here? Yeah, probably the most popular thing to see. And a skater skims across the ice, you know, leaps like a gazelle, does axles and maneuvers I don't even understand. The performance conveys a sense of freedom, just wonderful grace and freedom on the ice. And you might even see that the skater is exuberant. But embedded within that exhilarating performance is a huge amount of self-discipline and fidelity to a program of practice and self-control. Our spiritual lives are not a performance to impress God or impress others, and they are not competition. But the Apostle Paul says of his faith journey in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says, athletes exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one. So I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as though beating the air, but I punish my body and enslave it so that after proclaiming to others, I myself should not be disqualified. Our spiritual journey involves discipline. It involves making right choices, choices of behavior as instructed by our Creator. It's not just a matter of right belief, it's how we live. As Pastor Carolyn was talking about signs this morning, I thought of signs in our subdivision this week. You know, County Road 9 is closed. It got closed because of the flooding, and a huge sinkhole opened up on County Road 9 that makes it unsafe for any traffic to go over it. So the road at both ends says closed. But about the second day of that being closed, people discovered they could come up or down County Road 9 and they could come in through our subdivision right in front of our house, and then they could go out the other exit because the hole in the road was between the two entrances of our subdivision. Well, soon we had hundreds of cars a day and trucks, you know, trundling through our neighborhood, tearing up the roads. I mean, literally, you drive on that road and the road is torn up. There's great holes this road was not built for that kind of traffic. On Friday night, a semi came through and tried to negotiate the corner right within sight of our house. And he went a little too wide in the dark and he got off the edge of the road and the semi slid into that deep gutter. And then he sat there and proceeded to tear up our neighbor's lawn just terrifically. He had to be towed out. So yesterday morning, I'm writing this sermon about the Ten Commandments. I made a commandment. I made my own sign. And I took it down there to the entrance of our subdivision, the way cars are coming in. I wrote, through traffic, not possible. Don't try. Yeah. And I went back later and wrote, really, don't try, you know, because still cars would try to come through. And I thought, you know, this maybe is a metaphor for the instructions that God gives us, the commandments that God gives us. You know, for a few days, people could take the detour, and we take detours like that in our moral and spiritual lives. We think, well, in this case, you know, I normally don't lie, but in this case, you know, I really just have to do it. It's the only way to get around it. Or adultery is not a good thing. I agree with that. But, you know, this case is really special. This time, this is really, you don't understand. And so we make these rationalizations for ourselves, and then we end up in a ditch. and we do damage to our neighbors and to the environment and ourselves. So part of the purpose of Lent is to renew our spiritual disciplines, to examine our lives, to repent, to pray, to fast, to be generous, to think about our response of obedience to God's gracious acts. The word Lent comes from Old English word lengthen, which means to lengthen. And it simply refers to the time of year when the days are getting longer, the days are lengthening. And this was a traditional time in the early church to prepare for baptism at Easter. So while people were preparing for baptism, they were examining their lives, they were repenting, they were learning obedience, maybe learning new disciplines. And then the whole church would enter into that with the candidates for baptism. And we then end up with the term Lent for this time of year. So even those of us who were baptized decades ago enter into this season. Now, it's not as if we earn our salvation, because salvation is a gift from God as much as liberation from Egypt was a gift from God. And we are reminded at the very start of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, that God gave a gift, because the first statement in Exodus 20 is, I am Yahweh, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And we Christians, in our Protestant reading of that, of the Ten Commandments, think of that statement, I am the God who brought you out of Egypt. We think of that as kind of the introduction to the Ten Commandments. And then you have the actual commandments, the thou shalt not parts. But in Jewish faith, the way that the Jewish people today read the Ten Commandments, that statement about God liberating his people from slavery actually is the first commandment. That's the first thing that you say, and it's the first command. You are to understand, we are to understand, that God liberated us. God liberated his people from slavery in Egypt. God liberated us from sin, from addictions, from self-destruction. And then that's the first thing we are to remember. I recently have heard testimony from a dear brother who has had experience of liberation. And he agrees to let me ask him a few questions. Kevin, can you come forward? Kevin Kaufman is preparing for a baptism at Easter, and he and I have been meeting in recent month or two, and it's been one of the joys of my journey recently, Kevin, to meet with you. And you've had a story to tell of your liberation, so I want to ask you a few questions about that. So sure. Thanks for coming up. You can step a little closer to the mic there. What church were you raised in? Say a bit about your childhood.
Well, we always came here, my brother and I, my sister and my mom. And this is the first time I've ever been up here. I've been about everywhere else in this church.
Welcome. No, thank you for coming.
A different view, I would say.
Yeah, it is a different, don't they look nice?
Yeah. Same.
Then you left the church as a young man, you told me about some of your experience as a musician. Could you say something about that?
Oh, we always played in rock bands and basically music like Aerosmith and the Rolling Stones. But during all that time, I was always drinking and smoking pot. What do you call it? Grassers, you know.
Grassers,
yeah. But eventually, I got married and had a family, so couldn't afford to smoke pot anymore, so drank beer. And, well, I'm 60, I'll be 61 this year, so that's way back when I was 18, got married when I was 20, and so all through that time I drank, but I always worked. I guess you'd call me a functional alcoholic. But I quit coming to the church. I came once in a while, but anyway, I always worked in the RV business, and everybody says about it, but I never got laid off. I was good. I always worked. My brother and I, we always had jobs, but eventually the started getting worse and worse and worse, caused my divorce.
The alcohol did.
And so after, through the course of 40 years and about 60 DUIs, I ended up starting drinking vodka along with a beer, and that just progressively got worse. And an alcoholic will drink about anything. And I was drinking, before I go to work, I'd drink a bottle of mouthwash. That way I was had the sweetest breath in the whole shop. But it finally got so bad that I couldn't work anymore. And the last DUI I got, I think it was 2011, a judge finally had enough and gave me 5 years to 2.5. So that means
in prison.
In prison. And so by that time I just couldn't stop drinking. I didn't know what to do. And I hated to say it, but I was glad to go. I wanted to quit, but I couldn't. I just could not quit. And I didn't know what else to do. When I went to court for sentencing, I was drunk. And I hate to say it, but I was glad to go to prison.
What does it feel like to be in that position, you know, of addiction? What's that feeling spiritually, emotionally?
You're hopeless. You don't know what to do. I didn't know what to do, but I knew I had to get away. And so, thank the Lord that when I got assigned to the prison I got assigned to, they didn't send me to Westville or Pendleton. They sent me to Miami Correctional Facility down in Miami County near Peru. And that's, thank the Lord that that's a fairly newer prison. It's probably about 30 years old. Well kept, well disciplined. And I was never inside the prison. I was in what they call minimal security. I was in a dorm with 200 other people, men. And basically what it was a day camp for grown men. But at the end of the day, you were in prison. Never inside the walls, but outside. But during that time, it was one about a year into my bit. It was a beautiful spring morning out, and I was sitting on my bunk, and across the way, about on the second level, the sun was shining through the window. I mean, it was just beautiful, and it reminded me of home when I'd sit at the kitchen table and look out my patio window. It was just so. The light comes through, it's just so beautiful. And it finally hit me. I don't know. What am I doing here? I mean, I don't belong here. And I just, from that moment on, I just knew that I was free. And after that, it's just like you walk. I don't know how else to put it. My brother and I have talked about this. It's just like you walk through a door, and when the door opens, your whole world just opens up. And that's the only way I can put it. I don't look back. I look forward now. But the world has just opened up to me, 100%. And I get down on my knees every morning when I pray. And I thank the Lord for lifting the heavy burden of alcoholism off my soul. That's the only thing I can tell you. I just could not stop drinking. I've written a judge and thanked him for sending me to prison. I told him I don't want to go back, but but I do thank him. And like I said, my life has just gotten nothing better.
So what set you free?
The Lord. That's the only thing I know. I mean, it was just, and to this day, when I see a light coming through a window, I cannot help but think of that day.
One of the things that's impressed me, Kevin, is your deep sense of gratitude and just joy in living. Having been through the depths of despair and slavery, and to just sense the joy in your life. And do you think people at work see that you're a different person?
Well, of course.
What do they see that's different? How do you live that's different?
My attitude, your whole life changes. I mean, I was never one to, I always lived by the Ten Commandments. I grew up in this church pretty much. It's just that I strayed, that's the only thing I can tell you, is that.
You took that detour through the subdivision.
Yeah, I did. Big one.
Raise your hand in blessing for Kevin. Let's pray for him. Dear God, we thank you for our brother Kevin. We thank you for the joy and freedom in his life and the way you've set him free. We praise you for that. Thank you for setting each of us free from the burden of sin and trying to run our own lives. And we pray now your blessing on Kevin, that he would remain strong and be a witness to many. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Mm. Love you, brother.
Thank you.
When the Hebrew people were set free, God brought them not only out of Egypt, but through the Red Sea, and brought them to a land that was broad and open, and the door was open to them. And they were grateful, and they lived into these commandments of right relationship with God and each other. Out of gratitude, I was once at a Jewish retirement home for the scribe to put the last lines, handwritten, of the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament. And then this great Torah scroll was wrapped up and was paraded up and down the halls of the retirement home. And everybody that could was dancing. And people that couldn't dance were sitting up in their beds and they were waving. They were celebrating the gift of the law. And that's an appropriate way to understand the law. And for us to understand the Sermon on the Mount, it's guidance for us. Don't make idols. Don't take God's name in vain. Observe the Sabbath. Honor your parents. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not lie, do not covet. And sin is the belief that we humans can operate without constraints, or that we can make up our own rules. We can decide to go through the subdivision and take a detour. But when we seek freedom by turning away from God, paradoxically, we become slaves. Freedom comes in confessing our sin, turning to God in joyful obedience. And then we can live beyond the rules. We're not just following instructions. We're in relationship with a God who has shown us the way to life. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans 6, "Now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The gift of God is life. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Please turn the blue folder to number 65, The Ark of History. And would ask you to sing just the melody in unison on the first two verses. If you'd like to keep singing that melody, that would be wonderful, or you are welcome after verse two to change to a different part if you'd like. We're going to start playing through it, and about halfway through the intro, I'll motion for you to stand, those who are able.